Welcome, Tale Tellers. Today's episode is personally sent to me by Carl Brandt. Two stories, one about his real-life experiences with ghosts and the paranormal, and his second story is of fiction, about something called the Kujira. Now, before I jump right in, some special thank yous to the fans that high-five this channel. Let's begin. Troy Shaw, thank you for your keen ears, your insightful comments, and your all-around support. Cheers, buddy. Arkan Brother, thank you for the story in the last episode, The Tale Teller. That series is awesome, and you're getting better and better, mate. Thank you so much for the contributions. Sin, thank you so much for the likes. Katie Sturgill, for your awesome voice in my last episode. Cheers, mate. Anna Pantsu, for your awesome voice as well in the last episode. Cheers, Anna. Susan Masick, Alia Ross, Maria Cullen, Fair, Corey25 Lynn, It Doesn't Matter. Actually, I believe he's a story contributor on here as well. Quasar Bolt, cheers, mate. And Public Access America for the repost. Thank you so much. Okay, fans, one more thing. More and more people are sending me stories and I love it. So if you have your own stories, send them straight to me. You can reach me at storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. And remember, if you have any issues reviewing my channel on iTunes, let me know. I'll do all I can to help you help me. There are a couple of fans that are having a bit of a hard time trying to review the channel, so let me know, and I'll do whatever I can to help out. Well, Tale Tellers, it's time for today's episode. Turn the lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something creepy. True Paranormal Horrors from a Nighttime Security Guard. As a nighttime security guard, I come across some spooky things. As I've worked at two different sites, completely different from one another, and I've had a couple of interesting encounters. My first encounter is in a gated community where multimillionaires vacation or come to retire in Florida. The houses are less than a decade old at oldest, and new ones are always being built. The architecture is like Hogwarts meets the Kardashians. I was patrolling the area in the company vehicle. I got a complaint from someone about kids smoking or playing around in a house currently under construction. I started my trail through all the houses under construction. No kids to be seen. When I heard rustling in a covered construction dumpster, I thought some kids were just using it to create some semi-hot box. So, I pulled my flashlight out and sternly declared, "Security, party is over. Come out." Out popped a giant raccoon that hissed at me and scared the living hell out of me, but it really put me on edge for my next shift. It was an overnight shift, and we had a daycare facility separate from the main site that night shift had to check to make sure it was locked. This place was creepy and very haunted. We figured out that there were two entities, a little girl and an older male. Now, the little girl wasn't too bad. She just followed you around. But the second male was much more malicious. And we'll save that for another time. In this story, I'll talk about the girl. I didn't believe my superiors that claimed it was haunted, as most of them were super religious. One night, as I did my rounds, I heard a child giggle. As you can imagine, this was deeply disturbing. It was after midnight, and no one was supposed to be there. Now, this wasn't so bad until I entered a room and turned the light on. Halfway moving through it, that same light clicked off. Now, these lights had to be manually turned off. There was no one other than me there, and I knew that for a fact. Needless to say, I left that room quickly, but I had to do the rounds and another room. I swung past the second room, and that's when I noticed something. That very same room I just passed, where the chairs and tables were, sat a doll. A full pretend tea set was there, and once again, I knew I was the only one there, and I had access to all the activity and cameras. I'll never forget what I saw that night. The doll, the sounds, and that feeling. So yes, it was deeply disturbing. the Kujira. I'm sitting here typing this out because honestly, I don't know how much longer I have to live. In order for me to describe my sickness, I have to start my tale from just a couple of days ago. My name is Jack, I know, unoriginal. 2 days ago, I went out into the Gulf of Mexico to scuba dive. My father and I had planned this dive for months. We had saved up our money to purchase spear guns so we could fish while we dove. We had heard of this great spot to go to from our buddies who frequently dive and fish there. As we sat on the boat preparing our gear and getting into our wetsuits, we noticed off in the distance a flock of birds acting strange. I made a comment that something must have just died and the birds were getting their fill. My father scoffed at me and told me to finish preparing.
Come on, son. Focus. And get into your gear.
After what seemed like an eternity, I had all my gear on and my new spear gun in hand, waiting for my father to finish struggling into his gear.
Legs, arms, and done.
It was a brisk shock compared to the air, which was nearly 98 degrees, but felt to be in the hundreds at the time. I gave my father the go-ahead to begin diving under the surface, and we descended into the depths. Things started off fine. Tons of fish, from red drum to small tuna, and everything in between.
Look, I'll admit it.
I did get a scare from one of Florida's weirder fish, known as a sheep's head, which has teeth reminiscent of humans, and when they come up from behind and over your shoulder, I can't help but get freaked out. Things took a turn about an hour in. We had gone down to a depth near 90 feet. This is where your lighting diminishes significantly. I'm talking around 25% of what you'd have on the surface. Yeah, it's that dark. I felt the water get colder, but I dismissed it as a thermocline due to the depth.
Man, was I wrong to assume that,
because the next thing I saw was what I can only describe as a zombie fish. This fish was missing chunks out of it, but swam perfectly fine. Then, I felt the presence of something huge around me. I flashed my light at my father to get his attention. As he turned, I saw his eyes grow to 4 times their normal size. I knew something was wrong. He fired a spear gun right at me, but it zipped past my head.
And at that point, I was freaking out.
And he swam to the surface. So I swam as fast as I possibly could to get out of the way of whatever my father shot at. But at one point I turned around, and I was expecting to see a shark or predatory fish. But what I saw was much more frightening. Not even 10 feet from where I used to be, sat what could only be described as a skeletal whale, its massive eye sockets empty, yet staring at me. I let out a gurgled yell of terror as I inflated my vest to ascend faster to the surface, trying to catch up with my father. I looked back down at the skeletal beast, and it had swarms of fish that looked diseased and in various states of decay,
staring right at me. At this point, I broke the surface, but I had ignored my decompression stages. After all, my priority was to get out of there immediately, even if it gave me decompression sickness. My father was already in the boat and was hoping I'd come up there and that we'd get out of there together.
I broke the surface right next to the boat, swimming so fast that I nearly leapt into the boat without hoisting myself out of the water, which is a feat in itself, as I'm carrying almost 100 pounds of extra weight on me. We throttled the boat towards home and the shore.
This was the biggest mistake we made. We thought we were safe as we got closer to the shore, less than a quarter mile out.
My adrenaline had worn off and I felt the onset of decompression sickness like bubbles in my body pushing on joints. I wanted to throw up, and that's what I did when I saw it. The giant skeletal whale was right under us, and with its mighty tail, it flapped it against the water in front of the boat. This sent the boat flying through the air and crashing nose first into the water. I was thrown from the boat and hit the water hard. The last thing I remember is my world fading to black. I awoke to a paramedic performing a sternum rub on me as I came to, gasping and sputtering for air. I started yelling and screaming immediately out of terror. I wasn't quite able to get out of that decompression sickness as they rushed me to the closest hyperbaric chamber to prevent a fatal aneurysm. After a day in the hyperbaric chamber, I was released to return to normal, but I wasn't normal. After I peeled the wetsuit off, I noticed some of my skin stuck to it. Well, actually, not a little thin sheet, I realized it was a huge chunk. I decided to watch the news last night to see if this thing had been spotted, but all I heard was the story of red tide coming early. As the night went on, I began feeling like I couldn't breathe properly, and I started coughing up black gunk. I can't keep food down, and I've got a persistent itch that can't be cured, and sometimes I've been scratching so hard, I can see bone. I started looking for anything to describe what I've encountered, and I've only found one. The Bucca Kujira. But the puzzling part is, it's only supposed to be near Western Japan. What's it doing in the Gulf of Mexico? Fantastic. Those are our two fantastic stories by Carl Brandt. I do not envy your walks at night, buddy, through those haunted construction zones. My goodness. Talk about pouring on that nightmare fuel. Also, I really loved your Kujira story, especially how the audience knows what's happening and the protagonist doesn't. A nice twist to the normal trope. Good stuff. So thank you, Kyle, for your submissions. They were great. A special thank you, by the way, to you listeners. Whether you're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Acast, you name it, on any platform, the fact that you're listening is just fantastic to me, and I really appreciate your support. If you have any requests, do not hesitate. Message me directly. I will always respond and will take the time to read every submission. That's my promise to my fans. Okay, Telltellers, and fans of the creepy. This is the place where stories live, and you Telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.